Good morning and welcome to Bold River Baptist Church. We're excited that you're joining us this morning. We would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
Well, it's good to see everybody this morning. Happy Father's Day. I hope that you have a great day today, dads. And as we jump on the sermon today and get rolling, again, we don't ever like do a Father's Day sermon or a Mother's Day sermon. We preach through the Word of God, and as we are walking through, I believe that there's always something that dads can glean, moms can glean, but for the entire church, the Word of God speaks. And so we continue on. We're going to be in James chapter 1, verse 5. We take one verse at a time this morning. And so we'll be reading verse 5 in a few minutes. But I want to tell you a story real quick before we get there. It was an old man, and he was in a small village outside of, in a European country, and he was older and not very wealthy at all. He really didn't have anything. But the one thing that he did have was this one white horse that everybody envied. And he was always asked, hey, why don't you sell that horse? Why don't you sell that horse? And you could name a price. And he said, no, it's more of a friend. It's more of a person to me than it is my horse. And so he kept the horse. Well, one morning he awoke and he heard something and he walked out and in the stable, the horse was gone. It's missing. And so immediately the villagers, when they heard, they came to him, they told him how foolish he was and that how dumb he had been because he hadn't sold the horse and that he wouldn't give up the horse for anything. And the old man said, well, all we know is that the horse is missing. And they're like, no, it was stolen. And he's like, all we know is the horse is missing. Let's see what comes of it. And so some people thought about that and pondered that, but they really walked away in disgust saying, man, we've lost this horse. It was everybody wanted this horse and now it's gone forever. Well, 2 weeks pass by, and he wakes up one morning, and lo and behold, the horse is in the stable. And out in his front area, in his front pasture, are 14 or 15 wild horses that that horse had gone and apparently led them back. And so immediately, all the people came and said, man, you were right. Look at what a blessing this is. This horse went. He said, well, hang on for just a moment. Hang on for just a moment, We'll have to see if this is a blessing. We'll have to see if this is a blessing or a curse. All we know is that my horse is gone, now it's found, but at the same time as now I have 14 or 15 horses I don't even know if we can use. And so one of his sons was there in town, and he said, well, Dad, I'll help you start breaking these horses. And so he begins the process of getting the horses broken and beginning to ride them, and one day one of them kind of rears up, and he falls off, and he broke both his legs. So the villagers come back, and they say, you were right again. You were saying it might not be a blessing you have all these curses, all these horses, but now look, it must be a curse because your son's legs are both broken. And he says, well, hang on. We don't know if that's a curse or if it's a, we don't know. It's just part of life. And so they say, oh, how can you not see that it's a curse that they came and we thought it was great, but then next you know, your son falls off and breaks his legs. And they're like, we'll just have to see if it's a blessing or a curse. A few weeks later, an army invaded their country. And the king's men rode through and said, all able-bodied men must come with us. And they're going through the village, and your son and your son and your son, people are weeping. And just moms are following their kids out to where they're congregating and everything. And they get to the old man's house and they see his son. And they say, well, he doesn't have to go to war because he's injured. And he wouldn't be of any service to us anyhow. And so they all go, you were right. We said that was a curse. Now your son gets to stay. And the old man said, oh, how sad it is that people live with one word and they only have a fragment and they make a judgment. You see, many times we walk through life with that same process. We see something happen, we go, oh, that's great, that's good. And we really don't understand that it could be a bad thing. But true wisdom is the God-given ability to see life with rare objectivity and to handle life with rare stability, as Chuck Swindoll would say. It's that everything that comes our way has to be viewed in a way that we say, God, what is going on and how do we lean on you in this? And so this morning, my hope is that as we look at the trials of life, because that's what James has been writing about. And if you remember, in the first few verses of James, he says, count it all joy, my brothers, when trials come your way, because they produce in you endurance and steadfastness and being able to hold on to the faith. And just like this old man, we have to understand that when things come our way, we can't make a quick judgment call, but we have to learn to rely on God's wisdom to see what we should do, because God uses everything in our life, as Joseph would say. What man intended for evil, God used for good. So we have to remember that. So if you'll stand with me as we read from James chapter 1 in honor of God's word. James chapter 1, we're just reading one verse this morning, verse 5. And the word reads as follows. Consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you... I'm reading verse 2, verse 5. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without discrimination, and it will be given to him. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask that this morning, that you would speak to us through your word, that Father, just this simple text, that Father, we would glean from it, Father, what you have for us. Lord, we thank you that you are good, that you are good, that you are good. And Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, dwell with us here this morning. We pray all these things in your holy son's name. Amen. So this verse, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should just ask God and it shall be given generously. He gives to all generously without discrimination or without criticizing. It will be given to him. So what are we talking about? Well, first we have to understand wisdom. You know, many times we approach life and just like these people, sometimes they have the wrong angle. They don't have the right perspective. When they view something, they just see it from their point of view. And that's really where the crux of wisdom begins. It's we see things only through our two eyes. And so as humans, we begin to build what that means. We begin to make our own process out of it. But sometimes we have the wrong perspective. Sometimes we don't know everything that's going on. I'm just going to tell you, I very rarely in a house of four girls and just myself, I very rarely know everything that's going on. I mean, there's things that like I walk in and I got one girl going this way, one girl bouncing on the trampoline, great. I got one crying and the other one's like trying to make mom happy and I don't know what to do. I'm just like, oh my goodness, what is going on? And Rhonda's even like, I don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on. We don't have all the knowledge we need. So we already have the wrong perspective, and then we also sometimes don't have all the knowledge we need. But then sometimes we haven't even walked through that process in our life at any point. I don't know about y'all, but every day is a new day in many ways. There's new challenges that we've never seen before. I mean, whenever I turned 30, it seemed like my body fell apart. And some of y'all are going, just wait. Just wait. But I am not kidding. So I played basketball all through high school. I played a lot of sports all through high school. But basketball, I kind of really stuck with. Well, whenever our basketball program had a process called the 102, and it was, we ran 102 miles before the first day that we could start practice according to the state. So we would start at the beginning of the year, you ran 2 miles. Second week, you ran 3 miles. Fourth week, you ran 4 miles, and so on, to where we were running 9 miles at a time. And the very last day, they take you in a bus, and they drive you 10 miles away from campus at like 5 in the morning, which if you don't know, I thought I was waking up God at 5 in the morning whenever I was like, God, help me get through this. And they would drive us away, and they would put us just on the side of the road, and a coach in his car with his coffee would ride behind us. Any of you coaches out there understand this? All of us do. Y'all are riding there talking to us, drinking your coffee, and we're hustling down the road. And we had to be in our desk at this time, at the tardy bell, or you didn't even come to practice or tryouts. If you were not showered and dressed at the tardy bell, don't even come out. That was their first gleaning. That's how they started doing things. And so, man, I was like in shape. And then I hit 30. My knee gave out once. My knee gave out twice. And I was like, what is going on? Of course, I didn't really want to talk about the ribs and the brisket and all those things that I like to eat. But I couldn't figure it out. But many times we have all these things that happen. When I turned 30, it felt like my life was falling apart just because my body started giving out in certain ways. And so we tend to build a framework, though, based on our knowledge. And if you are thinking in a process already of wisdom versus knowledge, there should be a verse that's already popping in your head. Lean not on your own understanding. You see, whenever trials come your way, whenever there's things that are just like we sang, when the night is holding on, you are good. We have to remember that when we lean on our own understanding, we lack objectivity. We lack stability. Now, dads, this is a moment for you. I'm a fix-it guy. I think almost every man is a fix-it guy. We want to walk in, we identify the problem, we make a judgment if we can fix the problem, and then we go after it. If you have lived with your wife long enough, you understand that they don't want things fixed sometimes. They just want you to hear what's going on in their life. And we get in trouble because we just want to be, he's like, that is me right there. We want to just fix the problem. And so many times we walk into our home that there's mass chaos in, but we don't know anything that's happened during the day. We don't know what's been going on. And we lack objectivity because all we see is something at the moment and we react. We become harsh and our kids see someone coming down on them. And we don't understand anything about what's happening in the house. Same thing goes for all of us, that many times we will just take a trial and we'll say, well, God either hates me or I did something wrong. And we just look at it from one viewpoint and we say, how can this ever be good? Why would God even allow this in my life? And it's because we are lacking wisdom, because we lack God's views of everything. Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And we say fear, it's a love of the Lord. It's a passion for the Lord. It's a reverence for the Lord. It's not trembling. And many times we feel like, man, well, if we have to walk through this, maybe we should shudder behind God. Maybe we should sit there. When you're standing in front of His glory, you're going to understand that there is nothing that you can do when you stand in front of the presence of God. But here's what you also know, that you have a good, good Father who has handed you His most precious gift, His Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died for you. And so there's no reason to fear the Lord, but to stand in awe and reverence and to be obedient out of love. Proverbs 3:13 said, blessed are those who gain wisdom. So this morning, how do we gain wisdom? How do we understand what's going on in our life? Right now, I want to ask just a simple question. Do you understand everything that's going on in your life? Can you put teeth into everything and say, I got this under control? Anybody that person that understands everything has got everything under control? Okay, good. This message is for everybody then. We're not going to miss anyone. The first thing that we see in this verse is, now, if any one of you lacks wisdom, I think I can raise my hand on that, he should ask God. You say, really? Yes. He should ask God. Husbands, when have you sat down at the side of the bed while your wife's still asleep in the middle of the night, or in the morning when you have to wake up, or if it's in the middle of the day and you're a shift worker, whatever it is, when you come home and they're all in bed, when have you got beside the bed and said, God, I'm going to destroy this without you? Wives, while your husband's at work, how many times have you said, I'm going to destroy this without you? gone into your kids' bedrooms and prayed over them and wept over them, not just for them to be a good kid or to get that scholarship in baseball because it was your dream, not those things, but to get down beside their bed and say, God, I want this child to love you more than anything. He needs your perspective in life because without you, he will destroy everything or she will destroy everything. And if I don't have you, I will destroy this child. Anybody listening? And God says, whenever trials come, when we don't understand why all these things are happening, he says, ask. Sounds really familiar with Jesus, doesn't it? Where Jesus says, if you lack, ask and you shall receive. We have a heavenly Father, and even if an earthly father, his kid asked for food, would give him bread, would not hand him a snake, how much more would our heavenly Father, who loves us with a love that no one understands, how much more will he be willing to give? You see, wisdom is whenever something happens that we automatically say, God, what should I do? God, what is your desire in this? Why should I continue walking without God directing my path, should be our question. That should be our ultimate process. And you know, we used to wear those bracelets and it was huge in the 90s. What would Jesus do? And then all that stuff and everything. But the reality of that reminder of what should we do, we got to ask. We got to ask. It's the same thing that whenever Rhonda says, hey, there's dirty dishes. And I say, I don't know what that means. She goes, can you wash the dishes? She's like, I'm like, yes, ask. Communicate. Ask God for wisdom. He wants to give you wisdom. And it is wise to wash the dishes when your wife asks, just so you know. But it says that you should ask. And what do we know about him? Whenever we ask for wisdom, whenever we say, God, I need you to pour in my life in this situation, here's what we know, that one, that he gives wisdom fully. Now, you say, well, I've been asking, I'm not seeing the end. He's going to lead you to the end. Now, look what it says. He gives to all generously. He gives wisdom to all generously. He gives it fully. When you desire to understand God's heart, he's not going to leave you outside in the cold. He is going to talk to you, but you have to desire it, and you have to ask. You see, many times we're just saying, okay, God, problem. Okay. And then we start reading. And we're asking God to do something supernaturally whenever he has said, if you just ask, I will give it to you. You see, our prayer life has to coordinate with our scripture. We can't just be a person that says, God, I need your direction, so just point me to the right verse. He's saying, why don't you ask me for wisdom and knowledge, and you keep reading my word, you keep studying my word, you keep pouring my word over your life, and it's not just about a shot in the dark in my word, it's that I will guide you because I give you wisdom fully. You see, the Bible is one love letter. You know that, right? From beginning to end, it's a love letter from God to you. Is a love letter about how the creator of the earth has a desire to love you with a passionate love, how to restore relationship. And it starts with him loving us, us denying him, us walking through that, and him saying, I have a plan, I'm going to come by you back. And the story is told over and over and over through the whole word, and he's saying, this is my love letter to you. And if I want to know what the creator of the world has for me, I have to understand that his word is his wisdom. And when I ask him for wisdom, he's going to lead me to pages that, yes, I've never studied before, but he's also going to lead my heart to places that it's never been before. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And we have to understand that he gives it fully. The second thing is, it says that he gives to all. He gives to all. He gives it freely. There's no demand on you of what you should do to gain wisdom. He's just asking that you ask him for wisdom. Now, Jesus is the beginning of all that. That's what Colossians 2:3 says. Colossians 2:3 says that all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom are found in the mystery of Christ. So hear me. If you're sitting in this room this morning and you understand that the decisions you're making and you're not seeking wisdom, and even whenever you desire to, you're still not making those paths, I want to ask you something. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You see, because whenever we live in a life of sin, a pattern of sin, whenever we are taking it upon ourselves that we can do everything, we are denying that there's a God who loves us and has a better plan for us. And as long as we're in denial of God's plan, we're never going to truly ask him earnestly for wisdom. And this morning, sitting in this room, you may be sitting there going, I don't even know God. I don't even know how to get close to God. Here's what I want you to know, that Jesus Christ came and died for you because you wronged God. I have wronged God. You say, I don't even know what I did. God knew. And he died for the sin of the world 2,000 years ago. And he died for each one of us if we would choose, if we would accept the gift of God. And he gives to all freely. Jesus didn't come and give part of himself. He didn't say, I walked life perfectly to show them the model, so I'm going up. He didn't come and say, hey, I don't have to do that. I just need to die to spill my blood. He came and lived the perfect life that we couldn't live, and then he died and paid the price that we couldn't pay. He gave us his life fully and freely. He told us how to please the Father, and that was that if anyone follows me, if anyone believes in me, they will not perish but have eternal life. And this morning, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you this morning, when we have the invitation a little bit, the beginning of all wisdom is understanding who Jesus is. And you need to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, so you can begin to hear God's wisdom fully, and he gives it to you freely. But not only that, God gives us wisdom faithfully. Look at what it says, without criticizing or discrimination. You see, sometimes we're going to walk down a path that trials come our way, and it's because the path we've chosen to walk. And while even we turn from our sin and we say, okay, God, that's wrong and I don't need to do that anymore. Your word teaches me better. Help me walk through this. There's still things happening. And why would a God come to rescue us from a place that we put ourselves? Here's what I want you to know. He's faithful to give wisdom when we seek it. He will always say to his child, hey, come back here. Come back here. Come back here. Here's the path. Here's the decisions. Here's the things that you need to know. Whether it's your finances, whether it's your job, whether it's your marriage or your children, maybe it's your grandchildren, maybe it's health. No matter what it is, he's saying, hey, come here. Come here. Come here. I have wisdom. I have wisdom. And he beckons us to him through his word. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, just ask. Child of God sitting in this room, maybe it's time we got on our knees and we began to ask God for his wisdom about our life, about our families, and about our church. We got enough churches being ran with earthly wisdom. We don't need a church ran with earthly wisdom. We can see churches that are empty because of earthly wisdom. What they have to rest on is heavenly wisdom. That means that their foundation is Jesus Christ as the cornerstone of their church. The stone that the builder rejected. But Jesus is the answer for a church. He wants to give you wisdom fully. He wants to give you wisdom freely, and he will be faithfully true to give you wisdom? Are you asking? So what does this wisdom look like? What is the test? What is the rationale that we should look for whenever we're asking for wisdom? How do we begin to draw from God what is truly His wisdom, and how do we separate it from our own feelings? Well, James chapter 3, he gives an understanding of what wisdom is from above. If you look at James 3, verse 17, it says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure. Then second, it's peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without favoritism or hypocrisy." So when we ask for wisdom and we're trying to decide, okay, God, I'm searching for you and I'm still struggling with this, that's the litmus test. What does this decision I'm about to make, if I go this way, is it full of mercy? Is it pure? Is it gentle? Is it compliant? Does it work with the Word of God is what it means by compliant. Can I take the Word of God and can I not justify my actions, but does the Bible confirm my actions? You see, we need to stop just reading the Bible, and sometimes we need to put our life on display and let the Bible read us. Because whenever the Bible is being poured into us and it's reading our heart, it's going to change to where we become compliant to the desires of the Lord. But friend, He wants to give you wisdom in whatever you're walking through this morning, but He's wanting you to ask Him. Will you ask? And as I said, there may be some of you sitting in this room that have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. To say, "I'm planting my feet on Jesus Christ to never move again. And I want Him to be the wisdom that I seek. I want Him to be the foundation that I stand on. I want Him to be my everything." That, my friend, is the beginning of all wisdom. There is not another choice that you will ever make on this earth, another decision that holds as much weight as that one decision if you will accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And in this room, you will hear that week in and week out. That if you've never accepted Him, you need to accept Him. That He wants to give you His life and His love. He's already displayed it. He's already given you everything that you need to know that He loves you. Will you accept it?
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week.